multiverse awash with galactic wonders, the role of the midweek drivettes is simple. As Tessa Snart, Hannah Brown, and Emily Jones continue broadcasting across the cosmos on 107.3 Siren FM.
And for theatrical experts, the role of Emily Jones is this evening being played by two artists, Natasha Armstrong and Lois Snart. Welcome, Camo, back to the production. As you know, we've got a quartet of quality back in the studio. Hannah, Lois, Tessa, and Hannah. Oh, Hannah, Natasha. Lord, I'm very confusing. But we've got so much to pack into the programme, we need to keep on keeping on and scoot away to Bradley Walker. So would you like to launch the Bradley Walker moment that we've all been waiting for?
Sure. People are saying Bradley who? He kind of came to attention in not such a great way because Joey and Rory, who are, you know, famous country couple here in Nashville, Joey passed away earlier this year from cervical cancer, and she had her final request was to have this guy sing at her funeral. He did, and out of that, he's just kind of skyrocketed to fame, and Rory, Joey's husband, has said that was, I guess, all part of Joey's plan. So we thought this song just came out, and it's traditional country, and it's really, really good. We like it a whole lot. It was our National Access Super Pick of the Week last week, and we're sharing it with you right now. This is Bradley Black on Siren FM.
I believe in making my money the hard way, so I work for it. And every job I do with pride. And I believe in keeping a promise that I've made. You've got my word on it when I shake your hand and look you in the eye. And I believe in old glory, putting your hand over your heart and taking off your hat. When that anthem starts, call me old-fashioned, call me out of touch. Call me out of style, that's who I am. I'll still say yes, sir, and thank you, ma'am. And where's kids still prayed in school before their classes? Sometimes I shake my head and ask myself, what happened? Call me old-fashioned. Call me old-fashioned.
I think I'll just call you retro, actually. Bradley Black, not Walker. Sorry about that. Just getting the right names. Very important. Let's go to Tessa Snart. What did you make of Bradley Black? Call me old-fashioned.
I thought it was a really lovely song, and it's one of those I think you'd drive home to. Mm-hmm. Definitely an evening song, really laid back.
Nice. Natasha Armstrong?
I thought he had a really lovely quality to his voice, just a really nice tone. Yeah, just really lovely and calming, and yeah, really nice.
It's going well so far. Hannah Brown?
Yeah, it was a very nice song. I really liked it, yeah.
That's good. The young lady who was forced by her sister to watch Nashville, even though she's tried kicking and screaming to say it's not V, she's even been actually sort of taken out of her studies where she's trying to prep for an exam, you know, just to actually take some sort of party on. Sort of. Lois?
I thought it was brilliant, actually. It was really soothing, and I really liked the tones of his voice as well. It was really good.
Win-win situation, Camo. Well done. I know that you're keen to find out, though, what did Hannah and Tessa actually make of Arthur at the new Lincoln Theatre Royal opening night. Tessa?
Oh, it really was fabulous. They put on a really, really good show. I knew they would, I think. The actors were really amazing, and a few of them played multiple parts as well. So, and the voice projection was great.
Expecting no less, you say?
No, and I particularly like the dog they had as well, called Bursalit, I think it was. He was great.
Dog is always great. Hannah, did you enjoy it as well?
Is that a remake of Is that a remake of the Dudley Moore film?
No, nice one. I see what you did there, but there were no butlers in there whatsoever, no inebriation, and certainly no sign of Liza Minnelli. Or indeed Russell Brand, which was also a remake of the original piece. This is King Arthur. Historical
check. Yeah, but Russell Brand was, that's not even the same guy.
Well,
was that Russell Brand? Who cares? But is it that story? Is it the movie story?
No, it's the Arthur, the legend of King Arthur, as in Sword in the Stone.
Yeah, the sword out the
exactly.
stone.
Oh, okay. Well, there could be some drunks in there, too.
I see.
Well, actually, I don't know, there was
somebody drinking
fighting.
A little too much mead.
Lots of fighting with swords.
You might like to check out the fact that, thanks to Chris Lambert, an image of Tessa Snart at the on-location routine has also emerged as well. So it's just celebrate and rejoice. Just all the way. So, last two questions for your good self, Camo, are going to be asked by Hannah.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Sure. It's been fun.
And will you be joining us again soon?
Well, I'll be back next week.
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
Christopher, Anna. Can you remember the days of Christopher? No.
I do, actually, yeah. I mean, it was a long time ago.
A long time ago. He was still high on emotion. And so it goes. In the studio for Fabulous Folk, it's 30 minutes past 5 o'clock. If you want to keep attention to time, and why wouldn't you, we've got Hannah Brown, and we haven't even spoken of Hannah's Harry Potter fondness and the sort of things she's doing with the Harry Potter Society, amongst other things. We've got Natasha Armstrong as well, who's dealing with godchildren, I believe, this week.
Yes, very, very cute 5-month-old baby George.
Baby George.
He's just been drooling and Googling, and we were singing the Tigger song. It was great.
And there you have it, Natasha. He'll spend the rest of his life as a man doing nothing more than drooling and Googling. And why not? You know, that's what we do. Anyway, Tessa is with us as well, all sorted out, I think. And Tessa has also got a healthy sister called Lois Snart, because Lois's first debut a few weeks ago, she was sneezing all over the place, effectively. She said, I'm just going to go. She was a poorly soul. Fresh as flu had struck. So you got Lois, you got Natasha, you got Hannah, you got Tessa. Whom do you wish to go to? Anna.
Oh, I must speak to Tessa.
Oh, yep. Hello.
Hi. So are you a student at Lincoln?
Yes, I am a journalism student. I'm second year, so...
How are you finding it?
It's okay. It's quite full on this year. My timetable's packed, but...
And do you normally live far from Lincoln?
No, I'm not too far, about a 10-minute walk. I live on the High Street now in a house.
That's handy. I mean, I think public transport in England is so much better than... where I live in Jersey, where taxi drivers will charge £10 for a 3-mile trip from the airport to my front door.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's going like robbery.
Sorry, people bursting in there. You know, that's how she's a boy who leave. When, of course, actually what we should have been hearing was... I'm not even that either. Sorry, carry on with the interview. I'll just press a button here. It's done now. Tessa, of course, as we were about to say, on the official ident, goes something like...
Congratulations, guys. Glinton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map with Tessa Snart taking midweek drive-at duties to a whole new level.
Not quite sure what that level is yet, but we'll find out. Anyway, I know, Anna, you're saying, where's your... Well, actually, you've had your jingle ident, etc. Life in Jersey, are you coping with the slightly more inclement weather? Are you looking forward to the clocks falling back, you know?
Well, my colleague and I and another ex-colleague have just been planning a day trip to France, but you have to admit that if you go on the crossing between Jersey and France, the sea tends to be rather rough this time of year, and we've had really high tides, which means the waves crash over the main dual carriageway, and it causes awful delays of public transport and general transport, but the weather has definitely turn for the worst, I think.
Never mind.
Yeah, we're going that way now.
Just keep sort of celebrating the goodness, because tomorrow morning we launch the Gibraltar Literary Festival with Gabrielle Peralta in Gibraltar, and Nicholas Parsons returns to the programme, so that's going to be a bit fun, really, so chatting to us about life and the universe and various other things. But Anna, we've got to fit in between now and the news at 5:45 the amazingly talented Mike Hall, who actually specialises in classic Clapton, and Larry Namicek over in the States. Yes, Eric Clapton, that would be. And even Eric has actually said he's a tremendous sort of soul. And Mike Hall is performing with classic Clapton at the Majestic Theatre, Darlington, on Friday, the 21st of October. So that means, Natasha, you've got to bowl those last two questions to Anna at this very moment in time. Go.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I certainly have, thank you.
That's excellent. And will you be joining us again soon?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you for the offer.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. All around my hometown, they're trying to track me down. Say they want to bring me in guilty on the killing of a deputy, for the life of a deputy.
Frankly, the most outstanding music you can ever hope to hear at the Majestic Theatre Darlington on Friday, 21st of October. That's this Friday, amazingly. Mike Hall, welcome back to the programme. How are you, sir?
Hello, Alex. Yes, I'm fine, thank you. And really looking forward to going back, well, our first visit to the Majestic in Darlington.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, this nearly 2 hours of classic Clapton, band formed in 1985, that means you're still on the 30th anniversary tour. In fact, technically, it's the 31st anniversary tour.
Well, the 31 years comes up in December, December the 5th. So up till that day, we're calling it the 30th.
Well, we will go with that. You've had programmes by Tyne Tees Television made about your good self in August 2000, cover their tracks, Eric Clapton likes it. The magical thing is we've got four fine folk in the studio, none of whom were actually born when Eric Clapton started doing his stuff. I'll share with you, not their dates of birth, but Natasha Armstrong, Lois Snart, Tessa Snart and Hannah Brown. But we've all heard of Eric Clapton, have we not?
Yes.
Yay. So what would you like to ask this guru of wonderment, guitar vocalist extraordinaire, Mike Hall, the man who not only looks like Eric, he sings and plays guitar like him as well.
That's fabulous.
Exactly. We shall work our way through that whole thing. Natasha.
Yes, so what's it like when you get up on the stage and you're there and you're channeling, channeling Eric? Do you go through kind of like a backstage routine to kind of get yourself into like the Eric zone, or do you just kind of go out there and go with it? And
no, I mean, basically, I'm not trying to impersonate him, really. It's just I look like I do, and for 30, 40 years, I've been in bands playing covers. So I've always been playing covers of loads of artists, and it just happens that with this current band, we only cover Eric's music. So I don't try and go through a personality change or anything. Basically, I'm just playing music that I enjoy. The bit on stage is the best part of the whole thing. The worst part is all the administration and the organising
Oh, no.
And the travelling. But I do enjoy the part on stage, especially interacting with the audience, because you've got a couple of hundred people there, Eric Clapton fans in the theatre, so you're preaching to the converted, and basically it's just a lot of fans enjoying ourselves basically and having a bit of fun.
Do you find that you get like quite a few of the same people come back time and time again to see you? Like, you've got those hardcore kind of people that always come back to see you, or is it lots of new people every time? Or
it's a mixture, but we do get a lot of people who come and see us over and over again. I mean, there's a couple who live in Redcar, Colin and Anne, and they've been to see us all over the place. They came up to see us in Pitlochry in Scotland. They've been to Whitley Bay. On Friday, there'll be a couple from Southend in Essex, and they came to our gig in Newcastle last month, and they've travelled all the way up from Southend. They're coming again on Friday. Because we don't tour outside the North East now. We only play gigs since this year. We're really decided
Mike,
just
Mike,
to
fundamentally,
play.
People have got to realise that you have to go to civilisation as opposed to allowing civilisation to come to you.
Yes,
so it's
exactly.
it's a way of actually ensuring these southerners can actually go north, work through their way through the process. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hannah from Harwich, any questions for yourself?
How did you get into music? Have you always wanted to be a musician, or did you just...
Yes. I mean, when I was about 10 or 12, I used to love a band called The Shadows, and then I got into The Beatles, and basically all I ever wanted to do was be in a band. And I went to university, went to Manchester University, I became a chartered surveyor, and I ran my own business. But in 1998, I decided, right, I'm going to retire. And since 1998, I've done nothing but play in a band.
And so, what we're listening to in the background isn't Eric Clapton. It is Mike Hall with Classic Clapton. You know, that's the key thing. Mm, this is good stuff.
Very authentic. I like that.
We almost had people in tears of joy when I saw that at Middlesbrough Theatre. I was privileged to do that. I mean, and I'm not a fan for cover versions, but I have to say, Mike, you know, as I said at the time, outstanding. Lois, thoughts from yourself?
Hello. I was just wondering, actually, have you ever actually been stopped, and has anybody actually mistaken you for Eric Clapton?
Yes, but it was a long time ago. Around about 1985, Eric was on Live Aid, and he suddenly became a lot more popular around that time. And at that time, I think I probably looked more like him than I do now. And we both had the black hair and the black beard, you know, the dark hair and dark beard. And I was once crossing the road in London in Shaftesbury Avenue, and a taxi driver wound the window down and shouted, "Hello, Eric," across the street. And, I was on holiday with my daughter once, and a young couple came up to us and said, "Excuse me, are you Eric Clapton?" It used to happen very often, but not so much nowadays.
Well, Eric's in his 70s now, so obviously, you know, you've stayed at the same age, and that's part and parcel. It's a bit like the sort of...
Well,
the chap who actually had the mirror and... Oh, forget it. One of these days, Mike, we'll just get the thing sorted through. Classic Clapton, of course. Mike Hall, your good self, lead vocals and guitar. Danny Davidson and Dave Robson. And, of course, Paul Warren. It's quite a nice little tight outfit you've got there, isn't it?
Yes, and Paul was born not far from you. In Teesside, he was born in Middlesbrough.
There you go.
And now lives in Darlington.
Yep.
So, basically, he's only got a mile to travel to the theatre on Friday.
It's important. Actually, technically, it's 4 miles, but, you know, I'm not going to argue on that sort of basis. Dorian Gray was who I was looking for, but let's move on. Tessa.
Yes.
Okay, who are the biggest Eric Clapton fans? What venues have you been to when the audience has been really, really great?
Well, that's a good question. We've played all over the world. You know, UK, toured Ireland 7 times. We've played in Europe, Estonia, France, Spain, India. But the audience, I think, that was the most enthusiastic was at Glastonbury.
Really?
When we played at Glastonbury in 2001, I think, 2002 maybe, and the audience there were incredible. And there's actually a little bit of video on our website that was playing there, and we were on just before Joe Brown and Robert Plant, and you know, the audience were just incredible. The buzz that gives you when they're really sort of giving you a big cheer, you know, it makes you play better, and it's one of the best feelings in the world, I think. Mm.
The Majestic Theatre, Darlington, this Friday, 21st of October. Tickets, I think one or two still available, and amazingly, astonishing, only £15 to actually go and see probably two of the best hours of your life. I endorse that in every sense of the word. So great stuff there. And you can, of course, go to facebook.com/classicclapton. The website, as you rightly said, is the usual three W's and then classic-clapton.com. And you find out about the band, the history, the tour. I think it's fair to say he has a sense of Eric Clapton.
He's meant to be
channeling the whole thing. It's more than twin separated birth. Just amazing stuff. At present, actually, Mike, we're currently in the studios in Lincoln. So, you know,
we need
to sort of set up some way in which that 180 odd miles between Newcastle and Lincoln can be bridged some way, shape, or form. You know, so.
Oh, well, yeah. But there are people listening in Middlesbrough, I believe. Is that right?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
You know, Middlesbrough, Darlington, Los Angeles, we're all over the place, effectively.
Yeah.
So
it's the universe, basically.
It's the way forward, you know. And we're working together, co-creators of wonderment. Tessa.
Yes.
You're mostly a country music follower, aren't you?
I still like that. I like Eric Clapton. Mm. I've grown up with that music because my mum and dad have played it throughout the house. So, I'm a bit of everything.
Coming
really.
Up in the second part of the programme, actually, Mike, we'll be featuring a certain Leany Jane, which is going to be quite amazing in terms of some of the material that's coming through on that basis. But anyway,
Eric Clapton's a big country and western fan, and he likes Don Williams.
Oh.
And a lot of his music is country influenced. You know, things like Lay Down Sally.
Yeah.
And
country.
I can hear that.
Or not
country. Things like that. They're quite country flavoured songs. You know, he's a big. That's the great thing about Eric. It's not just blues. You know, he has a mixture of like reggae and country, you know. Great music.
We've listened to I Shot the Sheriff. We've listened to Layla in the background. I know you might say you're using it as a backdrop, and you had Layla. We're wrapping up with Wonderful Tonight. But before we do that, Mike, it's time to obviously remind folk that in April 2017, April 21st, Whitley Bay, I'll just do a Geordie accent, Whitley Beer. Did you see that? It's where I channeled
that. Was really good.
Did you? Yeah. Well. So Whitley Bay will be focusing at the Playhouse for another magical sort of piece there, and then of course Classic Clapton Unplugged sort of ventures into all sorts of routines. Presumably you'll be doing a Christmas gig as well.
We do a Christmas party in Newcastle once a year, so that's 16th of December, and we just call that After Midnight. The band was originally called After Midnight, you see, after Eric's first solo hit record. So 16th of December we're doing a Christmas party, but tickets, very few tickets left for the Christmas party now.
They go like little hotcakes.
There's plenty for this Friday.
Well, there we have it. We will see you again before too long, but Tessa, would you like to ask Mike, a.k.a. Classic Clapton, those final two questions, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
Yes, I very much enjoyed it, because I don't do many interviews nowadays, because we're not touring around the country, so it's probably my first interview for several months.
We are privileged, Mike. That's the important thing, and we continue to do so. So off you go, Tessa.
And will you be joining us again in the near future?
Mm. I hope so. Maybe, next time we're playing. I mean, we're doing a gig in Durham a charity thing in February. So maybe I could speak to you there.
I'm sure we will get a round of applause for Mike Hall, please. And Classic Clapton. It's just so wonderful. Tonight.
go to a party and everyone turns to see this beautiful lady who's walking around with me. And then she'll ask me, do you feel all right? And I say, yes, I feel wonderful. I see the love light in your eyes and the wonder of it all is that you just don't realize how much I love. To go home now, and I've got an aching head, so I give her the car keys, and she helps me to bed, and then I tell her, as I turn out the light, I say, my darling, you were wonderful tonight. Oh, my darling, you were wonderful tonight.
And once you've actually had classic Clapton playing Wonderful Tonight, what more can you go to get even more wonderful?
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
Or even, what more can you do? Somehow, Larry, the words this evening have been kind of echoing in bizarre ways, whether it's been talking about Dorian Gray, the joys of classic Clapton, or indeed just getting the Snart sisters in the right order. Of course, it's Lois Snart and Tessa Snart, together with Hannah Brown and Natasha Armstrong, the Quartet of Quality, currently in the studio. Welcome, Larry. How are you, sir?
I'm good. That was so great to hear that little dose of Clapton. That was great.
Except it wasn't actually Eric, it was actually Classic Clapton, their major tribute band. So this is very good. Mike will be very impressed, Larry, that you know the difference is...
That's what I meant.
It's quality stuff. Okay, so as you know, last week we had the excitement of Chase Masterson that was actually on the programme navigating the journey of life in more ways than one, really, from that perspective. And this week, here we are, back with your good self, and we Destination Star Trek. Did you read any of the social media comment about Destination Star Trek at Birmingham, or did you sort of decide, no, I'm going to step away from that?
No. I had some friends that were telling me about it. I've heard all kinds of things, good, bad, in the middle.
Yeah.
I will
amplify what I said last week, which I said nothing, of course, because I will amplify it by saying that if you were likening it to Leonard Nimoy's Star Trek episodes, in his own words, I would have defined Destination Star Trek in Birmingham as being equivalent from Leonard Nimoy to his view about And the Children Shall Lead. Okay? So that's about it, really, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Friendly angel, come to me. We needed that and more. But then, you know, as I say, you've heard it from different perspectives, and life continues ever onwards. Lois, on the other hand, despite the fact that she has the name of Superman's girlfriend right at hand there, Lois Snart, and of course Tessa Snart, Snart sisters, part of the whole range of things there, Lois is a bit concerned because she's hardly ever watched an episode of Star Trek in her life, actually. So
what would you advise Lois to actually do? I mean, where does she start? Does she go to CBS Action with all sorts? I mean, she could have had Spock's brain if she tuned in at 6 o'clock last night, which, you know, it's the whole brain and brain. What is brain? Morgue? I Morgue? I'm going to start a campaign to actually resuscitate the views of Spock's brain. But Larry, you are Dr. Trek. Where would you advise Lois to start to sort of seek through the 700 episodes and 12 or so movies and hundreds or so books, etc.? Where would you sort of say Lois should be sort of moving into?
Wow. Well, I some people don't appreciate the 60s now and send them to a newer, you know, series, one of the newer shows. I don't know. I know what to do with the original series. I would start people with either something easy like Tribbles, or when I did my mother when I was young, I started her with Tomorrow Is Yesterday because it starts off the point of view of a jet fighter pilot, and you start off in our time. Now it would be 50 years ago, the 60s, but you start off contemporary time and then you jump back to there.
Excellent choice there. So Lois, clearly what you need to do is go one of those distribution network things, you know, big rivers in South America, that's one of them, and for possibly one English pound you can actually download an episode and actually watch Tomorrow Is Yesterday. It's a first season episode. I think you'd quite enjoy it, you know, and then you come back and actually review it for us.
Yeah, definitely, I'll give it a watch.
Oh, yeah, I see. I'm working on the same principle, like, Tessa, as when you were eating her into Nashville, actually.
So you actually like Nashville, don't you?
I think
we have seen the original Star Trek. I'm pretty sure when we was a bit younger, Mum and Dad will have put it on, but we just don't follow it as such. But I think I might check out the new series. I think I should.
We haven't as yet had a Harry Potter meets James T. Kirk or Jean-Luc Picard or indeed Benjamin Sisko or Catherine Janeway or indeed other episode as yet. But, I mean, Hannah, are you working on that for a crossover?
Well, that would be interesting to see how it worked, what with Star Trek famously basing its, you know, self in science, which is, you know, you know, empirical science, and then Harry Potter being magic. Which, you know.
But as Arthur C. Clarke once said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Well, yeah. Would you put a magic wand under that?
Hey, listen, talk about magic wands brings us to cat's paw. You see what we're doing, Larry? Gradually.
See the
whole sort of. Natasha, are you familiar with cat's paw?
No, I'm afraid I'm not. You're going to have to explain it to me.
Larry, talk us through the mystical world of Cat's Paw, please.
Well, basically, Cat's Paw is the original Star Trek meets Halloween, actually.
Yeah.
But what the show has a Halloween vibe to it. You have witches and warlocks and black cats and things. What it turns out, without throwing a spoiler too much here, is that someone's having a joke at the expense of, kind of a deadly joke at the expense of the Enterprise crew. But the whole show is all running around inside a castle with some very bad poetry, Captain. Yes.
Leave this place.
Yeah.
I mean, it is worth checking.
It sounds
again,
good fun.
I would say go for cat's paw. As you approach to the trick or treat scenario, anyway, for prepping for that this weekend.
Rationalized magic. I'm trying to think. There's one or two other. Trying to think on the other episodes. There's some horror type.
Yes. Well, you've got the episodes written by
Robert Block,
with respect to the excitement of the Jack the Ripper one, of course, you know, the Scotty scenario and the whole Wolf in the Fold, to be precise.
Wolf in the Fold.
Yeah. Worth sorting
that. I'm trying to even think there's the Ardra episode on Next Generation, which is more about magic.
They meet the devil, exactly. Picard encounters the devil. Somebody claiming to be the devil. So, you know, you've got all of these wonderful crossovers that you can actually look to, Hannah. So, work on that sort of process. Particularly, of course, the use of the way that Kirk snatches the wand in Cat's Paw is very impressive. And watch out for Sylvia. Is she a cat? Is she not a cat? In fact, you could almost argue that the companion to Gary Seven was a feline, or was she a real routine? Again, what did Roberta Lincoln make of the whole system? Which brings us neatly round to something, Larry, I've wanted to say for quite some time. Destiny was bringing you to this programme as a regular contributor. It was revealed to me two nights ago in a kind of epiphany of joy, because clearly not only did Abraham Lincoln appear in The Savage Curtain to Captain Kirk, one of his heroes, Roberta Lincoln was one of the key stars in, of course, Assignment Earth. And we're in the studios in Lincoln, at the University of Lincoln. So, Larry, it was inevitable that your Trek knowledge would bring us to that Lincoln connection before I even start talking about Lincoln Enterprises, which was, I suppose, the first sort of thing that Gene Roddenberry and his wife set up back in the day when all sorts of things.
Yes, that's just, it was bound to happen.
Yes. It was as inevitable as getting a Chase Masterton eyes that I don't sort of through for the whole thing. And we did, and all's well with the world. Looking at the time now, you know, we could fill to the news, we could play a bit of music, but I think we've probably just enough time before we get up to 5:45. Not yet, news team, not yet. Haven't switched the button yet, so just calm down. To actually put those last two questions to Larry, given that he set an assignment, it's like Professor Larry Nemechek now, or Dr. Trek, for Lois and Hannah to actually check
my word.
To check up. And of course, you know, when in a week's time, there's no reason, why, technology being what it is, they can't download the cat's paw. Assignment, tomorrow is yesterday. I think those were the two biggies that we looked for. Assignment is yesterday, tomorrow is yesterday, and cat's paw. Hannah, last two questions for Larry, please.
Sure. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link this evening?
Notice the way we
didn't get my tongue out right now.
We have built this strategy of acting in such a way that we actually have that naturalistic pause just thrown in there. When Phil Leonard starts teaching his acting class, this is what we're doing. We're getting that through there. Would you like to take it one more time?
I shall try again.
Go for it.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have. Enjoy my telephonic link.
Yeah, he's channeling the spirit of Shatner.
First chat you have, which is, you know, the best chat.
Excellent.
No, I haven't, of course.
It's just coming up to 9:45 in the States, so he's an early riser as far as that. First of a series of Los Angeles scenarios there. And the next one, of course, is?
And will you be joining us again soon?
I would love to be in any time.
This is easy.
As always.
And indeed, as one of our other American correspondents said about Hannah.
Hannah Brown just took a bus out of town.
But I'm hoping that you'll stick around.
Yay! It's so smooth in every sense of the word. Larry Nemechek will return, as indeed will we, dear listener, in a matter of moments, to be precise, about 600 seconds or so, with Arthur Weingarten and with Kyle Fritz and with Phil Leonis. That's all to come on the Midweek Drive on Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren FM. After we say those magic words, it's 5:45, time for the Siren News.